unforgiven. There are easier ways to make a living. Well, we've come a long way since the start of things. We've seen the joy that hard work brings. You've made us cry, you've made me smile. You've hit the front, now it's all worthwhile. Well, not quite September this year, Michael. 8 past 8 on a Friday morning. It's going to be that one day in October and a little bit deeper into October than perhaps we've gone through before in the world of AFL football. But Mike Brady on grand final day and grand final week is absolute must-have in any discussion about the week that is. And he'll be at the MCG tomorrow singing by himself in front of an empty stadium. Singing by himself. So he'll be a part of the build-up, part of the coverage, part of the moment, as he should be, but sitting by himself a bit differently this year at the MCG. It is the game we're looking forward to tomorrow night at the Gabba, Richmond and Geelong. Chaos versus control, as Dino referred to it before, with Damien Hardwick mentioned it through the year. And who better to help us go through the game and what it might look like than the AFL Games record holder from the North Melbourne Football Club, who's been there and he's done that, and he's great to have him as part of the team. Brent Harvey, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Happy Grand Final Eve. It's a special time, isn't it? I just take you back a few years, Daniel. I was lucky enough to be the AFL Cup ambassador the year I retired. Knock up the sack, the year I retired, as I like to refer it to. And Mike Brady, I reckon I did, and I think this is absolutely true. I'm not putting any salt and pepper or mayo on this. I did 27 functions that week, and I reckon I seen Mike Brady at about 17 of them. And every single time he sang up there, Gazali, it just puts that little shiver at the back of your neck, and then it's grand final. It's so good to hear him, and I'm rapt that I've actually chose him to sing out in the middle of the Gabba. So looking forward to the game, looking forward to the next couple of days. It's been a good week. I've enjoyed it. A bit different in Melbourne at the minute, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And stuff like that. But
I was going to say, for your experience of grand final week, from considering going from that, the Premiership Cup ambassador, to what we've gone through this year, slightly different, Boomer.
Yeah, a little bit different. I went to a school yesterday. They had their grand final dress-up day, so everyone had their footy jumpers on. That's as close as I've got to any sort of football this week. But, it's going to be a good game. What was it? Chaos versus
control.
What did you say before? Control versus chaos. Great way to put it. It's exactly the way it's going to be. And I think it's going to be one for the archives. I'm hoping it's going to be one anyway. I think it's going to be a great day and a great grand final.
Well, there's been some news come through from David from the athletics track. Sent an SMS through that Richmond at the Gabba in October have a pretty good record. They're undefeated, in fact, at the Gabba in October. And if you go back to the 1982 Commonwealth Games, they played Carlton in an exhibition game during the Commonwealth Games, and they were victorious on that occasion. I wasn't aware. I must admit, I don't remember this being a part of the Commonwealth Games back in 82, all those years ago, because they played footy, and there was David Parkin called it almost a rapid charge for the grand final. 28-16, the Tigers, 184, defeated the Carlton 26-10. 166. So it's not Richmond Geelong, but it's Richmond Carlton, and it's an 18-point victory to the Tigers, who kicked 28 goals that day. Boomer, can you see that happening tomorrow?
No, considering last time the score between Richmond and Geelong was 31-57, I don't think we're going to get it 180-160. But back with it, that's when footy was footy, Daniel. They could just go and play. There was just go and play and do what you do. What was it? 28 goals or 26 goals? Is that what you said?
28-26, yeah. That's a good day at the office.
Imagine that tomorrow. I know it's short and quarters, so let's take a couple of goals off each. Imagine 24 goals to 22 tomorrow. Now that would be a sore eyes.
So Richmond fans rejoice that they can win at the Gabba in October on the biggest occasions of all, in front of big crowds at the Commonwealth Games. They've done it before, Whitey, and they've done it before. If we go through the matchups, the team, we're not expecting any changes from the two teams, are we? We're going to go in as full strength as grand final teams have gone of recent years. It's because no injuries, no long-termers are missing out at the moment, really, from both teams. Well, it's as good a lineup on the paper, if you like, in the grand finals we've seen just about forever, isn't it?
If they make changes, it will only be purely and simply tactical reasons. So from healthiness of list. I think Richmond might potentially look at a couple of things, but I reckon if any changes are made, it's purely and simply to try and create a matchup issue.
I heard a little whisper, and it was only a little whisper, no real football connection to this whisper, but Josh Caddy might be an outside chance to come in.
Right.
Which would be interesting. Well, okay. Unfortunately, sort of Daniel, means someone has to go out.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you sort
but
of
he
got,
hasn't played.
Sorry, Boomer, you sort of got Jake Arts and Josh Caddy as that sort of smaller forward, if you know, if it was to be wet, potentially, to bring in. That would be the only two.
I don't think Josh has played since that 100-metre penalty. So the thing that happens there, they run the risk of him not playing for, I don't know, Rama, what's that been? Maybe 6 weeks now?
Maybe more, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So there might have been a little scratch match somewhere in there, but you can't emulate a game of football. So that's the risk that Richmond take if they do make any changes. Oh, and Geelong as well.
The most interesting part of the game tomorrow is the intercept game. Now, Richmond in their wins are just outstanding. Intercept marks, intercept possessions. But the problem for the Cats is they control the game through mark. So, but Richmond will want Geelong to mark kick to in tomorrow's game. So Geelong, in a sense, have to take the risk, because where Richmond want opposition to turn the ball over, it's almost like Richmond have fooled everyone. They talk about forward half turnovers all the time, but the reality is they turn the where Richmond get teams to turn the ball over is between 40 and 60 metres out from the opposition goal. So I'm talking of Loston, I'm talking of Bolter, Grimes, those type of players. So rather than getting the ball in deep into the opposition forward line, where you put Hawley, Baker, Jaden Short under pressure, if you're turning it over at sort of the 40 to 60 mark, those players then just spread really, really quickly and open up the game. So that's when the chaos part of it comes in. So Geelong have almost got to take the risk tomorrow, get away a little bit from that control, Boomer, and get the ball in deeper. I'm talking get it in 0 to 30 when they're going with their entries inside forward 50 to put the Richmond defenders under pressure. Bolter's going to play on Hawkins. If Hawkins gets a couple early, you know, Bolter then starts to lose that little bit of confidence. He's very nervous in those marking contests. Then they, you know, potentially have to look at, oh, well, do we go with Asprey now as that match up for Hawkins, and then play Bolter as the second ruckman? Bolter was terrific last week on Charlie Dixon. Had a terrific game. But Geelong have got to limit the intercepts. If they limit intercept marks and possessions, I think they're a massive show, but they've got to take the risk, and that's going to go away slightly, Boomer, from how they're so used to playing this year.
Yeah, I reckon I've seen a little shift through the halfway mark of the year for Geelong. They were chipping the ball around and they were turning the ball over that 60 to 40 range where you're talking, Rama, but they're not shy anymore. We've seen Hawkins become the best forward in the competition purely because Geelong's ball movement was the chip around style, mark the football, chip again, but when they got forward to centre, they weren't gun-shy to go in anymore, and they got the ball in one-on-one to Hawkins, and as we've seen, he had a dominant year. So I think if they can control the football still, but have that ball movement where it's a little bit quicker, change angles, and do not allow, this is the key to the game here for me right now, do not allow Richmond to get their plus one down back. If they do that, Richmond are too good. We've known that for 3 years now. They just do it, and they do it so well. If Geelong can get the ball inside 50, and as you said, give Hawkins that one-on-one opportunity, they can win the game, but they cannot give Richmond the one-on-one, the spare.
And that's what I want to talk about. And I want to talk, this half the coach here, and obviously Whitey, who watches more football than any person that I know, they get that plus one by rolling McIntosh back. So that's why you see Vlosten so often as a free. You're like, oh, where's Vlosten's opponent? Well, that's McIntosh rolling back as a defensive winger and taking Vlosten's opponent for the period of time. So Vlosten then just goes and drops off and does what he wants. Now, the other end's the same. Because what happens is now is Blitzarv starts up on a wing. He rolls back for Geelong and plays as that defensive wing, and they use Menengola as the same sort of same way. So does one of Menengola or Blitzars go with McIntosh when he does start to roll back into Richmond's defence to allow Vlosten to be the plus one? Because it's not going to be Grimes tomorrow. Grimes is either going to have Dangerfield or Gary Rowan as a matchup. So I can't see him coming off his direct opponent much at all.
Well, I see it as that, exactly that. Whoever does it better wins the game. But Geelong, no disrespect to them because they're in the grand final and they're a fantastic team. But Richmond have just done it better for longer, and that's their style. As soon as they get their plus one, they chain, because the next player presses to Vlosten and then Hooley comes into it. The next player presses to Hooley, Short comes into it, and they're a kicking team off half back. We know what their chaos, and they get their ball movement. That's where their ball movement starts. Right there, Rammer, you hit it the nail on the head. 60 to 40 out, and they go bang and play their chaos footy. But to us, it looks like it's chaos. To them, they know exactly how the ball's getting turned over, where it's getting turned over, and how it's getting turned over. And then, it's not chaos to them. That's just how they play their footy. Yes, they do knock the ball on and do all that sort of stuff. We see that every single week. But they turn the ball over there, and they can't give Richmond the plus one. It's simple as that.
They can disarm them. They can disarm them, Geelong, with the way that they do kick mark. And you go through just purely some of the numbers leading into this game, just raw data sort of stuff. Like overall, this is all these stats are versus their opponents' average every week. Geelong are number one in disposals against their opponents every week. Richmond are 14. They're number one for kicks and three for handballs. Richmond are 12 and 11. They're number one for marks. Richmond are 11. But also, they're number two for clearances against their opponents every week. Richmond are 16th. They're number one for goals. Richmond are third, and inside 50s, funnily enough, Richmond are second, ranked second against their opponents, Geelong are third. So Richmond don't need possessions. If you look at stats boards tomorrow and you're looking at numbers and contested possessions, you're wasting your time. It's not a game for numbers tomorrow. It's a game for system and style. Geelong can disarm them and stop that chaos, that frenetic pressure and surge forward, which they play, by kick marking. That's how I think they can win it. But what you said before, Rammer, I reckon is the key to the whole thing. If they don't shift the defence and they end up kicking down the line to the extra numbers all the time, it's toast. They'll get toasted on the way back and it's all over. They need to be able to move the ball at speed, but not necessarily hell for leather, but at speed, but just keep the ball in transition to the open side of the ground and shift that defence. So that extra defender has to roll up onto that spare player for the Cats, and then they can get a bit of a look one-on-one inside their forward 50. If they don't do that, it's over.
So, guys, it didn't work for Geelong when they tried that against Richmond last time. They invited almost Richmond to squeeze them.
But that was
now,
slow.
So that's my question. Is it just that they've got to do what they tried to do better and make tinkerings, or do they actually have to change it significantly based on who the matchup is, Geelong?
But this is no secret how to beat Richmond. Teams just can't execute it. Because Richmond just puts you under so much pressure constantly. Now, half spoke about all those stats. But the one stat you can't measure is pressure. Like, they've got this pressure gauge and all this rubbish that they do. But out on the field, Richmond, they're there. They're always there. They're in your face. You don't see a player taking five or six bounces down a wing against Richmond. They don't allow that style of play.
But that's my point, Rammer. What I'm saying is that did Geelong, based on last time, go, well, you know what? We came up with a plan to play the way we like to play. It didn't work. Do they have to do something dramatically different, or do they have to go back to what they think will work and what they do on a regular basis and just do it better?
I can't see them doing anything dramatically different. They just need to be better at what they did. And if you watch, I think the point one of the boys was making before was spot on. What they did through the middle of the year when controlling games with real slow tempo, was very different to what's happened in the last 4 weeks of footy, I reckon. Maybe five or six weeks of footy for them. They are certainly deciding to keep the ball in motion more. Now, it's not frenetic. It's always methodical. And still that kick mark game more often than not. There's a little bit of overlap action, which probably we didn't see early in the year. But it's about keeping the ball in motion, but it's keeping it in control and opening the ground up. And what they've done really well, and we spoke to Jed Buse about this through the week, Whitey, is they've used the width of the Gabba really well. Yeah. and understood the dimensions of the ground and made that a real force for them in their ball movement from back to front. And that's what they'll need to do tomorrow. If they can't do that, if Richmond pressure them and force them into quick kicks down the line to the extra numbers, it's going to be over. It'll be 10 goals to 4, and it'll be a smacking, like it was through the middle of the rounds. But if they can control the footy and keep it moving, but use the width of the Gabba as a real weapon to disarm the Tigers and their extra numbers and that channel they want the ball, yeah, then that's the key, in my opinion, the key for the Cats whole thing tomorrow.
So to you again, all of you, with the situation with, the players that were missing. So Geelong had key players missing that day. Obviously, Gary Ablett was one of those. Gary Rowan, Mitch Duncan, etc. But Richmond had players missing as well. So can we use that reference, that last game, or it's irrelevant because of the players that were missing? Or is it a factor because it's actually the style of the two teams, not so much the personnel from last time?
No, I think the personnel always has to come into it, Whitey, because when you're missing people like Gary Ablett, Mitch Duncan, those type of players, they're the top echelon of your team. Now, you take Fife out and replace him with someone that's a 23rd, 24th on the list, it just doesn't add up. So for me, you can take a little bit out of it. But the stats from last game, Whitey, the clearances, Geelong were 32-16. They doubled them in clearances. Richmond had 22-11 scoring shots. Richmond doubled them in scoring shots. Richmond welcomed the pressure. So the players at Geelong have come in are more skillful and they're better. So for me, you can reference last time, and Geelong will, because they need to play a similar game style. You can't just change it completely in a grand final. Yep. But the personnel is huge. We're talking Mitch Duncan, star, Gary Ablett, superstar. So we are talking those type of players. So for me, that makes a difference, the personnel.
So what's the plan with Dusty? Because Adelaide got it horribly wrong. GWS got it horribly wrong. He can go into absolute rarefied air tomorrow, Dusty. He's still at the peak of his powers.
Yep.
My plan is, through the midfield, Guthrie's responsible for him. And once he goes forward, it's probably Colajasny that's responsible for him. Even maybe Blitzarfs. But the problem with that is Dusty's got a license to go and do what he wants. He gets forward of the ball, does whatever he wants. So whoever the two players that are responsible for him as a defender and as a midfield, they have to have unbelievable communication all day to pass him over. It can't be, oh, I thought you had him. Oh, I thought you had him at that stoppage. You've got to be communicating all day with the pass over for Dusty. Otherwise, Boomer, as you know, as a player, you had a license basically to go and do what you want. That's how you trick your run with players, by just moving from one part of the ground to the next. So the communication between the two or three Geelong players for responsibility tomorrow is critical.
Yeah, and I mentioned this last week, and this is what Dusty does. He plays in between. When he gets a Guthrie, we all know Guthrie's not going to go stand in the goal square with Dusty when he goes the full forward. So there has to be a handover. I actually had Stewart. I think Stewart can match him in the air. I know he's the go-to for Geelong for that third man in, and he's really critical for him. But I don't know if Colajasny can go with him one-on-one in terms of power. Dustin Martin always marks the ball in those type of defenders. Yeah. So I had Stewart, but it does take a little bit away from Geelong. Blitzards, I like the role he plays, where he's up on the wing a little bit more, floating back, and needs to be that third man in. So I wouldn't go with Blitzards on Dusty, but Guthrie definitely 100% through the midfield. The communication, as you said, needs to be there 100%. Who's the other one that could go? The only one is really Buse. He's nice and thick through the torso and the legs, but I think Dusty might be a little bit too smart there. So I had Stewart penciled in for the backman to go with him.
Well, looking at the last three games that Dustin Martin has played against Geelong, last time round it was 19 disposals and 3 behinds. In the preliminary final last year, it was 22 disposals and 2 goals 2. And in the game before that, where Richmond got beaten by Geelong, he had 26 disposals and 1 goal 1. So he's clearly had an influence when he's played Geelong. So whatever they've done hasn't necessarily worked.
You've got a great mix when Dusty's forward for the Tigers against the Cats, because the Cats set up so structurally, and they're waiting for that high ball in, they roll off and help each other. At Richmond, that's not how they enter. They separate really well in their forward half, either back to goal or even coming to the footy. They very rarely do you get two of their keys or three of their keys in the same spot at any given time, which takes away the numerical advantage that Geelong try and get, and that the support that they try and get with each with more numbers around that contest. So that's why Richmond are dangerous against the Cats, I reckon, because the way they bring the ball inside their forward half is different to most other teams.
And just on Dusty as well, I think Dusty's a better player, or not a better player, he's a star of the game, obviously, but he's a more dangerous player forward of the football when he's resting forward and he's having shots on goal, because he can have four shots on goal in a quarter. He's like Dangerfield. They're exactly the same. They're explosive and they're very good. Geelong's key is to keep Dustin Martin in the midfield as long as he can. And I think that's to stamp him early, deny him of the football, and you want to get his hands on the ball, which means he's going to spend more time in the midfield. So I think that stamp early is super important.
All right. So, Boomer, let's throw it to you. The 2020 AFL Premiership Cup will be held up by which team?
I don't know if I'm tipping with my heart or my head here. But I'm going to go with Geelong by 16 points.
16 points for Boomer. Rama, who wins?
The Cats by 4 points.
Cats by four. Whitey?
Well, I can't tip a winner because I haven't been able to through the final series. I keep getting them wrong. So unfortunately for Richmond fans, I'm picking Richmond. I'm just going with the history. I just don't see how Geelong can change it.
I'm going for the Cats.
The Tigers for me.
I'm on the Cats. I've been on them all year. They're the best phased team in football, and they're a much better team in the last 3 weeks than they were in the previous 15. So I think they can win, and the Tigers' run will come to an end in what's going to be a ripper by 7 points, just by the way, for those playing at home. Let's get to the Friday face-off.
The Breakfast Club's face-off for Ribera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
Let's call it the Saturday face-off because it's grand final day tomorrow. Let's change the tag for the Saturday face-off. Boomer and Whitey drew last week. Now, it's over. I've won the series, but we're going to play it off because it's grand final day. So bad luck to you, losers.
No count back.
Boomer, you get, as our expert and the AFL Games record holder, you get to come up with a category for the Friday face-off today. Oh, sorry, the Saturday face-off for grand final day tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's grand final day. It's the easiest thing to follow in football. It's straight out disposals again because I'm not going Kentucky's. I'm not doing silly stuff that you guys do. Marks,
I thought you'd go Norm Smith medal.
Oh, we could go Norm Smith medal, actually. Whitey, would you like to do... We could do that. Let's do that one then, the Norm Smith medal.
Whoever gets like most votes
right,
in the Norm Smith
most
medal.
Most votes in the Norm Smith.
I like that.
Well, that usually means you win it.
Well, not necessarily. We might miss out.
Yeah, but someone we might not pick the winner, and we've got to go to the person that got the most votes.
All right. Rami, you can go first today. I'll give you a crack at...
It's your first because I get a two-pointer. I can get a two-pointer and catch up to you.
No, it's over, mate. I'm about 15 in front. It's over.
It's only 1 week to go. You're nine behind. You can't
You're playing for Nathan Jago from Turidon. Rama, who are you going to select for the Norm Smith medal tomorrow, please?
I'm going to take the captain, Joel Selwood.
Joel Selwood, to add that to the list. That'd be a
big
nice
odds
little...
Big odds too, Joel Selwood.
Nice little addition to the resume. I'm playing for Andrew Kerr from Cobram. Good luck to you, Andrew. And we think that Mitch Duncan is going to be the Norm Smith medalist tomorrow. So we'll be cheering him home with the Cats. Whitey, you've got Rob Lawson from Woodend.
Well, considering I think Richmond's going to win, I'm going to go with a Richmond player, and I'm going to go with Dion Prestia. Dion Prestia is going to be my man, so Rob, good luck.
The little meatball for Whitey. And Boomer, you've got Gary Burley from Croydon Hills hanging on every word you're about to say. Who's going to be the Norm Smith medalist tomorrow, please?
Okay, Gary, well, I picked Geelong to win, so again, has to be a Geelong player. I'm going to go with a guy who I thought was very stiff to miss out on the All-Australian team. I'm going to go with Sam Menegola to have about 27-28 in a low possession game and get the Norm Smith medal.
All right, so they are the nominees. Joel Selwood, Mitch Duncan, Dion Prestia and Sam Menegola for our Friday/Saturday face-off contestants this week. $100 voucher for Ribera's at Swallows up for grabs. All right, considering what we've said through that little patch and our tips, chances are it's going to be a decent game of footy. We hope it is. Boomer, you've been a star with us all year long on the Friday face-off. We think it's magnificent. You're a part of our world. We appreciate everything you do for us, mate. Have a great grand final weekend.
Absolutely, boys. Thanks for having me again. Absolutely love it. And you guys have a great day tomorrow as well.
We certainly will do that. Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder. Friday footy preview specialist, and we love his work every single week. Rama, enjoy Grand Final Day. It won't be the festival you normally have with your family, but just enjoy. Okay. Go and mow the lawns or something.